Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and this is our 22nd study in the book of Genesis, going verse by verse, of course, as always. And we come today to Genesis 24, and we begin our study in verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read and study together. In Jesus' name, amen. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham could look back on his life and he could say, it's been good. God has blessed every area of my life. And of course, Abraham committed his share of sins, but God was able to bless because as a rule, he put God first and lived by faith. 2. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. A strange request to our ears. But Abraham had a job for his servant, and he wanted him to swear that he would do it faithfully. And that is why he told the servant to put his hand under his thigh. That's what people did when they took an oath back in those days. 3. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. His servant is to find a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac, and she can't be a local girl either. No unbelieving Canaanite woman for God's man, Isaac. 4. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. And the family Abraham refers to here are the descendants of Noah's son, Shem. The descendants of Noah's other two boys, Ham and Japheth, had already abandoned the true God. But the people of Shem, which include Abraham's family, they at least retained the knowledge of the one true God. Now, how faithful they are to him is another story, but they were Abraham's best shot at getting a God-fearing woman for his son, Isaac. 5. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? And the servant is thinking plan A is a long shot, so he suggests the plan B. If I can't find a woman who is willing to leave her home, is it okay if I help move Isaac back up there from where you guys came from? 6. But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Absolutely not. No way. If Abraham knew anything about God's will, it was that God wanted him and his family in the Holy Land. 7. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Abraham was confident. See, Abraham knew it was God's will, for Isaac to be married. He knew that. He knew that it was God's will for Isaac to live in the Holy Land, too. And he knew that it was not God's will for Isaac to marry an unsaved person. So you put all those things together, and it only makes sense that the servant's mission is going to be successful. However, in the event that Abraham is overlooking something, there is verse 8. And he says, if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. If the servant does his best, and it doesn't work out for some reason, Abraham says, don't worry about it. 9. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. It will be tough, and he may come home looking like a failure, but the servant will try his best for his master. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. And so the servant leaves in verse 10. He arrives in verse 11. It says in verse 11, he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And that made sense. The city well was a smart place for him to go because it is where all the women went at the end of the day. 12. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. So he used good sense, but then he also prayed. Verse 13. Behold, I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher, that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. You know, one thirsty camel could drink about 40 gallons of water. This servant had 10 camels. And he said, Lord, may I recognize the right woman when she volunteers to bring 400 gallons of water to my camels. Well, I'll tell you what, not many women would. Well, that's why he prayed that prayer, because it would have to be a miraculous answer to prayer for a woman to do something like that. 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. God answered this servant's prayer before he even finished praying. 16. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. When we think of a well, we probably think of a bucket, a rope, and a crank, right? But back then, some wells had steps leading down to the water. That is what this well had. And so Rebekah walks down the stairs, filled her container, and then walked back up the stairs. 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. It says the servant ran to meet her. Well, now, if the man could run, then he could also go down the stairs and get his own water. And I think many people would tell him, get your own water, mister. You have legs, use them. But notice 18. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Well, he knows at the very least that she is kind. Verse 19. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Notice what she said. She said, until they have finished drinking. Rebekah just took on a part-time job. Verse 20. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. This was the end of the day, so she probably was very tired by the time she arrived at the well. But instead of thinking of herself, she grabs her bucket, and she makes probably several hundred trips up and down those stairs carrying water to be kind to a man that she doesn't even know. 21. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And she had no idea what this man was thinking. He was thinking, boy, she sure is a hard worker. She could be God's choice for Isaac. Verse 22. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing a half a shekel, it's about a quarter ounce of gold, two bracelets for her wrist weighing about 10 shekels of gold, that's about 5 ounces of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And now he asks the big question. Whose daughter are you? See, Rebekah was pretty, and she was kind, and she was hard-working. But if she's from the wrong family, a family that has rejected Almighty God, then she's not the one. And the servant will have to just keep looking. So he waits for her answer, and here it is, 24. She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Well, Nahor is Abraham's brother. And that answers the big question. She is definitely from the right family. This is God's will. He knows it. 25. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough to, and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. What a wonderful answer to prayer this was. I mean, God really broke through. And the servant responded with worship and praise. 28. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. And she didn't know what it was all about yet. But boy, she knew God was doing something here. And as a result, she runs home and she tells her family. 29. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to meet the man at the well. Notice the Bible talks about Rebekah's brother here. And then in verse 28 it had mentioned her mother's household. No mention of the father. He must be gone by this time. Verse 30. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring, that is Laban, Rebekah's brother, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets, all the gold on his sister's wrists. And when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. You say, wow, look how enthused Laban is. He's just like his sister Rebekah. He's a nice guy. He just can't wait to help the stranger. He's just a very kind person. No, he is not like Rebekah. Rebekah was kind because she was kind. Laban was kind if there was something in it for Laban. And he saw the gold on his sister, and he knew the visitor was wealthy, and that is why he went out to meet him. If you think I'm too harsh, stick with me for a while. 31. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Laban had dollar signs in his eyes. Notice, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Yeah, and if the servant would have been dressed in rags, Laban probably would have said, move on, boy. Go down to the next house. 32. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And washing your guest's feet was a cultural thing back in those days. And I'm sure Abraham's servant must have appreciated it too, after a 500-mile journey like he just completed. 33. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. Well, he did speak on. The servant did speak on. In fact, he repeats the entire first half of this chapter in the second half of this chapter. So we're not going to read it again, because I'd be reading the same thing over again. Let's move down to verse 48 when he winds up his explanation to Laban and Rebekah's mother. We'll pick it up in verse 48. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Verse 49. Now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, the servant says, do you believe the story that I just told you? Do you believe that it is of God? I have to know. If you say, no, we're not going to let Rebekah go, then I will move on. And so you see the servant, all he wants right now is honesty from these people to know if his job is done or not. And we'll pick up our study in verse 50 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.